Welcome to the Spiritual Gifts Podcast. I'm Sam Jackson, Gateway Redlands Campus Pastor, joined by the effervescent. Is that the right word? Effervescent?
Effervescent.
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 You know why I'm getting confused? Remember that Schweppes ad? Schweppervescent?
Oh, Schweppes.
So I've been confused.
The lemonade.
Effervescent. The effervescent.
Yes.
Whatever.
The fizzy.
The sparkling.
Fizzy.
Sarah Watterson. Welcome, Sarah.
Fizzy Sarah Watterson.
Fizzy.
Fizzy. Yes.
Excellent. Just a note to our listeners, this is the second last podcast that we are recording. So we are a little bit wide, but we will get through this. It will be good.
It's going to be great.
We are considering in this episode the spiritual gift of giving. Mm. Sarah, why don't you give us a bit of a biblical picture of
this gift? As we were just saying before, I think with the gift of giving, everyone is called to give, you know, it's something we all do. But there are definitely some people who God has put in a position where they are able to earn a lot of money, you know, and they've also got an amazing heart to be incredibly generous with that, which is an amazing gift that is put together and can bless so many people. There is also the giving, you know, it's the position of your heart where that comes from. And Jesus talks to it often as well, as in those people who don't have so much but still give so much. Mm. And there's the story of the widow in Mark who didn't have much to put in, but what she did was enormous to her. And so it's looking at those people whose heart is to really give beyond what is just a base level, and for those who are able to earn an enormous amount of money, and what they do with that money is kind of where we're coming from with this, I think. Mm,
that's really good. Speaking of people who earn an enormous amount of money.
That's a terrible segue.
that's a pretty ordinary segue, isn't it? But I'm going with it. Andrew Main, campus pastor at Gateway Ormo.
Thanks, Sam.
Now, if I can speak more seriously for a minute, I don't think someone who had this gift in the way that Sarah, you described, who has the capacity to give a lot of money, would want to be on something like this. I think that's that there is a sense of wanting to stay out of the spotlight and all that sort of stuff. But we thought we'd bring you on, Maney, as someone who has been blessed by this gift, not personally, although I'm sure in the early days of Bible college and all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
we all know how much we appreciated those envelopes that were handed to us after a service on a Sunday.
Yes, that's true.
But talk to us about your experience of I guess, seeing this gift in action in the church.
Yeah, look, I think you make a good point, Sam, about finding the right person to sit in this seat that can speak to that. And there are some that may. I think the challenge is in the culture and the society in which we live. Money is one of those really tricky things to talk about. And, you know, like if people see half an opportunity, you know, they can jump in and misuse that relationship and that friendship. And so I think it is one of those things that some people that carry this deep-seated sense of God has equipped them, called them to be generous over and above what, you know, all of us as people of faith are called to be, often do that in a way that is not seen. And they do that, I think, to protect themselves, but also just so that there's a real sense that they have the opportunity to be responsive to what God's doing, not what, you know, a lot of other voices are jumping in and saying that. But, you know, certainly as a pastor, I've seen what it is to have people that really just have that real desire towards generosity. Mm. And I think, you know, you guys have already said it. Giving and being generous is something that every believer is called to. Generosity, not just financially, but of our time, of our talents. And it's strange. If you look at Romans 12 where it speaks to this, you know, it doesn't really unpack a whole lot of how this gift manifests. It just says, if your gift is giving, well, be generous. And so you know, we can read into what that means, but you know, I know people that, you know, just have this capacity in the world that God's placed them to generate resource that they feel compelled to invest in the kingdom. And so again, where the Bible doesn't unpack for us exactly where that generosity goes to. And the Bible's very clear that we should be generous to the poor. We should be generous to those in need. We talk about the spiritual gifts as building up the body. So I think there is an element about the building up of the body of Christ and the church and the ministry of, you know, God's people in the world. And so it's hard to put bounds on that. But when people operate in this gift, a lot of, you know, God doesn't need our resources to do things. But in some ways it does. We live in a world where resources actually can equip ministry and enable ministry. One of the great pictures, I think, and Sarah, you are very much ingrained in this part of who we are as a church. But when we see that outpouring of generosity on something like Thanksgiving Day.
Absolutely.
You recognize that we're stocking the shelves of our care center so that we can actually be a blessing. Yeah. So there is a reality that the generosity of our resources has a tangible impact. On people's lives and on ministries.
Mm. Now I just wanted to bring out that fact we were saying about people who are able to earn a large amount of money, and it is something that is embarrassed, that people feel embarrassed to talk about it, or there can sometimes be an element of, I'm a Christian, I shouldn't really seek to earn a lot of money because that's not godly. But this gift actually speaks to the fact of, actually, God can use that generosity. And it doesn't mean you have to be a big showy, blowy kind of person that's like, look at me, I've got all this money. But that they can actually use that gift wisely and not be embarrassed by what God is doing through them.
Yeah.
But enabling them to be such a huge blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is, you know, often we talk about it that, Christians, we should be humble, or we shouldn't look to succeed in different areas, especially financial areas.
Yeah.
But I think those who have a heart of giving, this can really be an encouragement to them that, you know, embrace that, step into it more. And as you've seen, and I see, you know, when people have that giving heart and the ability to be able to give, what an amazing combination put together.
Yeah. And but, I think too, the people I see that I would say I've observed operate in this, it's like any gift that's a God-given gift, there's joy in it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Sam, you know this as a pastor, people almost, any time you address money, in any context, really, but in the church context, there is a some people
a lean kind out. Of
yeah, or it's some true. People it kind is of true. Tense over the very topic, because it is one of those areas in life, isn't it, that we like God can have everything. I'm just not sure He can have
my money.
This, but I've seen people that just generally they're not driven by what this means for me. They're driven by this. God's just equipped me with the capacity to bless others. And there's a huge responsibility and weight that comes with this gift. Yeah. I think some of it's just the weight and expectation that the culture builds in that. But I see the wrestle of stewardship. And the challenge, I think, for some of our listeners that might feel like this is part of their gift is you know, it's how do you release that and let that go and do that wisely? Yeah. You know, this is a real responsibility.
This seems like a really significant challenge, this one. I mean, Jesus, I heard a bit of a stat of what's recorded in the Bible of Jesus' teaching, 25% is about money. I mean, that's huge. That's more than our preaching plans. preaching rosters. But so for the person who's listening to this episode because they think they have the gift, I mean, there's a dangerous road ahead because that battle of the heart, you can't serve two masters.
Mm-hmm.
You'll love one and hate the other, whatever Jesus says about that. And that's true of money. I wonder, Maney, in your experience, can you describe the heart posture? I mean, you've probably said a few comments already about the character of the people you know have this gift. But for those who are listening in and maybe staring down this gift being a part of their future, how do you develop your heart in order to protect yourself against worshiping manna? What did I said manna? What did I mean? What the God of mammon. Sorry, I always get those two. They're very, very different. Manna and mammon are very different, and it's important to get them right. I'm talking about mammon, not manna.
Look, can I just address two things in that? I think sometimes we think about this gift and our mind instantly goes to people of high income capacity.
Yeah.
I've seen some people operating this gift that if you looked at the balance sheet, they're not the top earners.
Yeah.
But the generosity that flows through them and the way they use the resources that God's given them. And it's not always financial, but this isn't about, you know, like who are the top 10% of earners, therefore they should consider whether they've got the gift of giving. I think actually all of us look at whatever resource we've been. If you look in a world, we're all in the top 5 or 10% in our nation. Yeah. But
100%.
So we've all got the stewardship thing that sits over from a discipleship perspective. Mm. But so this isn't about the how much. Mm. It's actually just about the heart posture. The thing I love, and you mentioned this verse, Sam, but when the Bible talks about money and Jesus talks about a lot, He doesn't say money is the root of all evil. He says the love of money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is actually a heart posture.
Yeah, for sure.
You can have not a lot and your heart can be completely captured by this drive for I need more, I want more. Mm. And so it's actually irrespective of amount. Mm. Like someone said this to me way back in Bible college. We were looking at the life of the disciples and there was probably some evidence to suggest that some of Jesus' first disciples were probably pretty wealthy, you know, like some of them in industry and trade. And, and we don't actually know. Matthew was a tax collector, but there's a suggestion that some of these guys might have been.
Mm.
Can't say that for sure, but doing okay financially. And so it's not actually about the amount. We look at the balance sheet too much. It's actually about the heart lean towards it.
Mm. Yeah.
So you're going to have nothing and money can be your idol.
Yeah.
You can have everything. Be the most generous person in the world and not be driven by it.
That's good.
And would you also say that this is so true, that if you are generous with a little, then even as you grow and mature, if you get more money, you will still be generous. But if you start off with a little and you're not generous, then if you get more, you're not suddenly going to become generous. So you need to start that posture of the heart with whatever you've got today.
Absolutely.
Knowing. Yeah. That is what you want to grow.
I've seen it in my own life. You think just a little bit more will just make all the difference, but then a little bit more comes. And so, you know, now there's space to get a slightly better phone and upgrade, you know, this aspect of life. And suddenly in 6 months' time, you're back at the place of going, just a little bit more will make all the difference. And you can spend your whole life thinking just a little bit more is going to make all the difference.
Yeah.
Because the thing that's the issue isn't how much you got, it's the contentment of your heart and the thing that's driving your search for that contentment. So,
There's that classic quote from someone who was asked, some wealthy person who was asked, how much is enough? His answer was just a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, as we've recorded these episodes of the different gifts, without fail, all of them across the board, how do you get better at this? Well, you do it. It's funny because I feel a little bit awkward at this point as a campus pastor, because you wrestle with this and true in your world as well, Sarah, as a care pastor. Like, hey, if you're a giver, give more. Like it sounds like we're doing that thing that people criticize the church of asking for money. But hey, I reckon that's true.
Yeah.
Like if you feel like you got this gift, start giving. Start giving more. Give more and see what happens.
Yeah.
Is that fair? Can I say that?
Yeah, I don't think it's self-seeking in the sense that there's a lot of places you can give. And if you've got this capacity, you're probably not just finding one or two places to exercise this gift. You're finding multiple avenues.
Absolutely.
And so I would say, and this sounds like the answer we should give to all of these, but I would say this is one gift that needs to be constantly bathed in prayer.
Yeah.
And just discerning the wisdom of the Spirit as to what that looks like.
Yep. So. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good.
Absolutely. Well, people listening to this episode, because this came out as a gift that they may have, Mainey, love for you to pray for them that this gift would, this gift of giving would be given.
Absolutely.
Do you like that?
Yeah. It's nice, Sam.
The gift that keeps on giving.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Lord Jesus, I do just pray for anyone that's engaging with this, maybe wrestling with whether this is what you're calling them to, or who you've formed them or resourced them to be. And God, we know that when we find ourselves operating in the center of your will and living out the purposes that you have for us and the way that you've equipped us, that we find great joy. And so, Lord, for those that carry this gift, the great responsibility of it, I want to pray your wisdom just to rest on them. But I want to pray that as they get to do the thing that you've called them to do, God, that they would just continue to experience your joy in the midst of it. And, Lord, that they would see the way that as they are obedient to the promptings of your Holy Spirit, that you use the little or the much that they are able to bring, and that you'd use it for your glory and for the expansion of your kingdom. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Mainey. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks.
Thank you.